Hello and welcome to this week's Yes Group Spotlight. This week we're very grateful to Yes Glasgow Northwest, who have kindly shared with us the discussion they had with Dave Murchison, creator of The Hub. Part of this discussion mentions a screen share. Obviously we can't share the screen with you over the radio, but we do have the video of this event in the Indie Live Radio YouTube channel in the playlist Yes Group Spotlight, so if you'd like to have a look, it's in there. Right, over to Yes Glasgow Northwest.
So welcome everybody, welcome members of Yes Glasgow Northwest, and also a special welcome to people that have tuned in from other Yes groups. We're absolutely delighted to have Dave Murchison with us tonight. Dave is the creator of thehub.scot, which is a website and an app, and it is a social media platform and it promotes news, analysis, media and opinion on Scottish independence. I'm not going to say too much about it. Dave, who lives in the Highlands, he's the creator, and he's put the hub.scot. It's available as an app, and also there's a Twitter account you can follow, and Dave is going to tell you all about it for about 15-20 minutes or so, and got screen sharing, so he'll be able to guide us through some of it. Following that, there'll be opportunities for you to ask questions, so at that point I'll allow folk to unmute themselves, and anybody who would like to ask a question will be able to do so. So without any further ado, I'd like to thank Dave very much for being with us tonight, and I'm looking forward to hearing your presentation, Dave. So here we go.
Hey, thanks, Val. Thanks, everyone, for coming along to this one. This is the first presentation I've actually done on the Hub since I started. So I started about 6 years ago, just after the actual first referendum, which is a kind of unfortunate timing. But the idea of it was, at the time, I was following Wings over Scotland, Bella Caledonia, Wee Ginger Doug websites. I was checking them pretty much every lunchtime at work to see if there's any new content on it. And I realised, you know, I build websites just as a hobby, and I quite fancied making some apps as well. So I thought, I'll make an app that'll just ping me a little notification to say whenever any of these sites had a new article up. So I started with individual apps. I made one for Wings, one for Bella, and so on. And then I thought, well, I could just do it as one big app that people could end up joining and just ticking to follow the groups they're interested in, and maybe perhaps groups that are nearby them, you know, Yes groups. It'll just list them all and they can just tick to follow those. And then they just sit and wait for those groups to start writing or posting videos or podcasts or events. Fundraisers, for example, just ping up on the app. And you can just follow it, and then you can reply to them, respond to them. So that's just how it started. So 6 years it's taken to get to this stage. It's quite a developed app now for Android and Apple devices. It's free. And the website, I redid the website a couple of months ago. So this is quite good that we're doing the talk now, because it's a brand new website that's up. So the Hub is for pro-indie stuff. That's it. There's no anti-independence anything, anti-Scottish anything. That's for other websites to do and other apps to do. It's purely pro-indie stuff. So the idea is, for folk that are already Yes voters, you can keep up to date with everything. You know, like the Nationals on it, so when they put a new article up on their website, you'll get a wee notification to say there's something new and what it is. But also for undecideds, you know, there's a massive pro-Scotland and pro-indie website full of the reasons why we should be independent. And if they just stumble across it, because the website name, The Hub, doesn't mean anything. It's not, you know, Yes Hub, Yes to Hub, or Independence Hub. It's just The Hub. So when they click on it, they won't really know what they're getting into. But when they go into it, they're just full of independence articles. You know, Leslie Riddick's on there, Fuller Podcast, for example. And it might be just enough to push them to vote yes next time. But as well as that, the website's kind of smart in that it tries to push pro-indie content up Google's rankings as well. So when you search for content on Google, for example, the Hub will be there, well, as close as can be to the top of the results. so more likely people will click and read. For example, stuff around Glasgow, so your group, for example, they might look for Independence March in Glasgow. And it might not, you might not find the content on Facebook, but you'll find it on the Hub, because the Hub's been designed specifically to show that stuff on Google's search results. So the app itself, there's a lot of stuff on it. I'll do the screen share just now so you can see it. That you guys can see that, can you? So this is a website when you're logged in, and it's, if you decide to get the app as well, it's pretty much the same. You've got a bar down the left-hand side with all the areas. So you've got your articles, media, events, fundraisers, the groups, and the contents down the middle. So each group, each Yes group, I think there's about 450 of them I've found. Most of them will be on here now. You can see I'm close to Dingwall, for example. Wim for Independence Highland tells me how far away I am from them. So the nearby groups, I can just follow those. So again, you know, undecided people, if they decide to join the Hub, they like look at it, they join up, they will see Yes groups close to them as well. And they might just tick to follow them and just read their content. Obviously, you've got Wings are on there, all the big kind of pro-India accounts are on there as well. What these do, what the Hub does is it doesn't rely on anybody to add content to it. It just finds it itself. So we'll just go into Wings just because it's at the top. So you've got articles, for example, you've got your media, events, fundraisers, things like that. And it's just a case of scrolling down and looking through it. If I go back to groups again, you know, just the S&P Dingle one, it's close by to me. Again, see, just scrolling through. So it's just, you follow it. As soon as you click this button to follow, you'll get notified whenever they post something new. So for you guys, I mean, you guys are mostly involved in your group already, so you'll know what's happening. But for some people who don't feel comfortable enough yet to be fully involved in your Yes group, just ticking a button on here and getting notified of what events you've got coming up, for example, or things you're discussing, might be enough for them to go down the line, yeah, you know, I'll actually take the leap and actually properly join your Yes group. So since it started, there's about 68,000 articles have been posted on it. There's over 1,000 live streams, mostly Independence live streams are on there. You can get notified when they're about to start. You can watch them on your phone if you want. There's over 1,700 events have been listed. Less so now, obviously, because of the pandemic that we're in. But if you use the app, you can actually host your own live stream if you wanted. There's a little button on the app just to do that. There's 1,800 podcasts on it, so you can listen to everything. Indie Live podcasts, obviously. There's 18,000 videos and 94,000 posts from just ordinary folk and people in Yes groups just posting, just replying to something that the National's written or that a Yes group's written, just liking it and sharing it. I mean, for example, on this one, for example, on this post, you've got an option to just share. And there's a link along the top there. You can just post onto Twitter or Facebook. But if you have your own website, you can copy and paste that in, and it will actually make this post here appear on your website just as it is. So it's a great wee tool for quickly sharing content to other people, you know, on your website or Twitter or Facebook. You know, there's been talk of pro indie sites being kind of blocked from sharing stuff on Facebook, for example. That doesn't happen on this one, obviously. That's the other way around. You know, we'll block the pro UK stuff from coming on here. They're not allowed on it. But for your group and for other Yes groups, the way it can help, like I said earlier on, is if you join and you follow groups on here and you immerse yourself more in what's going on, you don't just stick to maybe the websites and the groups you follow, but actually come on here and see what's trending, what people are talking about. As you can see up there, there's, I think, Indie Live have a live stream just now with Michael Gray. Either they're listed Indie Live Radio. So you can find out what people are discussing because it ends up on the trending side here. You can take part in those discussions, but it helps as well if you post your events that you've got coming up, even if it's a Zoom meeting or when you're back to canvassing, to post it, because again, the hub will then push that onto Google. And when people are searching for events around their area, it's going to show what events are actually around their area, canvassing, or there's going to be a talk, you know, like this Zoom meeting, for example, will be on Google already to say there's a Zoom meeting happening. You can share everything. You can make your own groups as well. Doesn't have to be SNP or Yes. Could be anything that's pro-Scotland, really, because at the end of the day, we could be pro-independence, but going beyond independence, it has to be pro-Scotland as well. So you can create your own groups for that and create an actual, you know, it's a hub. So a hub for all your content, if you want. I don't know much more beyond that. I mean, you can advertise on here for free as well. There isn't any actual paid advertising, obviously. But if there's something important that your group is doing, you can ask myself to advertise it and it'll appear on everyone's timelines. Or I can promote something. For example, if I was to promote this, I won't do it because it'll end up on everyone's phones. If I click promote, everyone's phones will ping with this status for everyone to see. So if there's something urgent you want everyone to see about what's happening in your group, like something that's happening, I don't know, say tomorrow, and you want everyone to know about it, you can ask and I can send out. There's thousands of people on the hub already and they'll instantly know as soon as I push that button. This has been made for the movement. It's been a hobby of mine for 6 years developing this. But the whole idea is to help get undecideds to Yes. It's to help connect Yes voters. That's the whole reason. So if anyone has any ideas on how it can help them that I haven't thought about, then you can tell me and it can get done. You know, it's not Facebook. It's not got thousands of employees and, you know, you've got this tiny little voice and you're shouting against, you know, the guys in California, whatever. It's just me in the Highlands. Just ping me an email and I'll have a look. And if it's a good idea, we'll do it. And it won't take long at all. So that's pretty much it, I think, at the moment. I don't want to get too technical with everything, obviously, because it looks like Twitter a wee bit. It acts a wee bit like Twitter, you know, liking things and sharing things, replying to things. And that was kind of the idea, is that a lot of folk use Twitter and Facebook already. So a new social media platform should be quite simple to get into, without me having to write pages and pages of tutorials on how it all works. That's it, I think. So I'm happy to take questions just now, if anyone's got any.
I'll just, thanks very much, Dave. I'm just going to allow people can unmute themselves now. Can I ask you a question, Dave? Yeah. So if somebody has never used this before, what would the first step be? Just to download the app from the App Store? Would that be the first thing to do?
Well, it depends. If you just use your computer, like your laptop, you just go onto the hub.scot and it'll ask you to register. It doesn't ask for a load of details. You can just put in a username and a password, I think. Or maybe you'll need an email address. But that's it. It doesn't ask for a screen of details. You can leave the rest of it blank. So you can sign up on the website or you can download the app on iOS or Android as well and register on that. Same login works for all of them. So if you registered on the laptop and you think, I wouldn't mind getting the app, it's the same details later on. And then if you want to add a wee bit of colour to it with an avatar and a wee header profile, you can do that as well. You can set, when I said about the nearby groups, you can change your settings to have, I think the default is any groups within a 30-mile radius. You can set that to 200 miles if you want. I should have set it to 500 miles because that actually sounds better, doesn't it? You can set it to 200 miles so you can catch more Yes groups. So, you know, you could scroll further down.
Yeah.
You know, more and more. I mean, there's Nairn 22 miles away there. So then you can follow more. Or you can put it down to 5 miles. You know, you guys are in Glasgow. I don't have many Yes groups from Glasgow, quite a few. You might not want 30 miles because you might have, you know, screeds of groups going on there. But yeah, so if you want to, if you want to just register on the website, that's fine. It's the same. Everything's done the same way on the website as it is in the app. All the screens should look very, very similar. So it should be very easy to jump between the two of them.
Could see before you stop screen sharing, could you maybe show folk the Yes Glasgow Northwest group?
Yeah. Obviously, I'm not nearby, so I'll have to search.
You would have to put it in the search.
Yeah. There you are. That's you guys there.
Yeah. So if you click on that, ours would come up.
Yep.
So it
The notifications come up on the apps. They don't come up on the website because I think that would just be quite annoying after a while.
Yeah.
Working away on your laptop and you've got empty notifications pinging up your screen. So it's for the notifications will come up on the apps. So all you do is you just tap that button to follow. That's it. That's all you have to do. Group's already there, and there's the posts. The hub takes the posts from Facebook. So like I say, once it's set up, the people that run these Yes groups can kind of just go away and leave it. It'd be great if they keep coming back and posting. They can just go away because the hub will then find it. It will look on Facebook, and anytime you write something on Facebook, like 10 minutes later, it'll ping up on the hub. So you don't have to be on Facebook if you don't want to be on Facebook. You can just come up here and read it. And if you want to read more, you just click the link.
Great. So could we open it up to the group then? I don't know if you want to stop the screen sharing now, Dave, but so that folk can see each other. But I was wondering if anybody, so everybody, if they want, are now able to unmute themselves. Has anybody got a question? Roslyn? You can unmute yourself, Roslyn. You should be able to. There you go.
Yeah. You have Yes Storms as one of the groups.
I think I do, actually. I'm not screen sharing just now, but I'll have a look. Because I think I asked them for something. I do. Yes Storms are on it. They're on it.
That's why I'm doing this now, because we can't do much campaigning. I was up your way Sunday, and there's quite a few My Stones around about the Black Isle.
Yeah, I've probably seen a few, actually. Yeah, because we're going a few walks. Yeah, they're on it. I mean, you guys are busy. There's about 2,500 posts on Facebook. But it's great because, are you okay if I share the screen again, Val?
Of course. Just do whatever you like, Dave.
It's on there. That's back on. There's Yes Stones there, see? So when you guys are posting pictures on Facebook, they're coming through here as well. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, so every stone, you guys, that must be what you're doing. It's just photos of every stone. Yeah, it's great. So I mean, there's no location for Yes Stones, obviously, because it's around the country and that. So you can't find them nearby. But the idea is, I mean, every so often I'll just get my head down and just hunt out Yes groups and see where they are, and then I'll get them on the hub. And then if they don't have a website, they should have a Facebook page. I'll get the feed from that, and then that'll start notifying people when they start following it. So that's one of the groups. Yeah, that's one of the groups that doesn't have a location, but it's still on there. Yeah.
Rosalind's a great one for the painting the Yes Stones.
Oh, really nice. Yeah. Are you meant to take them home, or are you meant to just look at them and put them down?
You can do either. You can take them home, or you can put them somewhere else if you want.
Yeah.
I give them to people to put in. I've got my front door steps covered in them. My window ledges covered in them. And it's good to have them displayed for people. My window cleaner saw them and said to us, you know, going around the houses doing my windows, people are spontaneously saying to me, they're going from, you know, they think they want to vote yes. That raised the conversation with him, just anecdotally. People are saying to him they're thinking about voting yes.
It's amazing the different ways people can get their way to yes, you know, by having a look at a stone that's been painted. It sounds quite trivial, doesn't it? But it'll work. It's great. It's awesome.
Is there not a thing, Roslyn, that if you take one away, you're supposed to leave three more or something like that?
When I first saw that, I felt guilty because I was picking them up at all the marches and I wasn't doing it. I mean, I've done well over 100 now.
Oh, 50,
you know, so. Yeah, I've got some of Glasgow Northwest on them when we're finally allowed to do stalls.
It's like Margaret, who's there, and Grace, who's there, and yourself, and me, and Douglas. We all did a session, remember? But you've certainly kept it up. And Geraldine as well. And we did loads and loads, remember? But you've fairly kept it up. That's brilliant. I'll need to get back into it. So the yes stones, yeah, I'll need to get back into that. So is anybody else got any questions for Dave?
I think it's a brilliant, can you hear me?
Yes, yep. Margaret.
I think it's a brilliant idea just calling it the hub, because it reminded me that for the 2014 referendum, we had a website. I can't actually remember what we called it. I think we just called it Glasgow Northwest, so that if anybody was looking for an event in Glasgow Northwest, what popped up? Was our Glasgow Northwest Yes site. So I think a lot of people came upon it in that way. So it's the Yes Stones and the Hub, it's all the same sort of idea, isn't it? Getting people just to kind of link in when they weren't thinking about that to start with.
It took me, originally actually, the Hub was called the Yes to Hub. So beyond 2014, when we're talking about a second referendum and that, everything was Yes to. And I started not liking it, and I wanted to call it the Hub. And it's a restaurant in Glasgow, had the hub.scot, and I watched them like a hawk for years, and I waited until the name expired. And I was right in there. The second it expired, it was mine.
Because we need to do something at this moment when we're not able to go out and campaign properly. I think stalls are probably still not on. So it's difficult, apart from yes stones and something like this, it's really difficult to know how to get through to people who are not thinking about it, although it does sound like more people are thinking about it than were before.
The thing as well with the Hub, obviously it is social media, right, but it's very, very political, so it's, it's going to be quite dry, so it's not something you're going to spend your day on. I mean, you could just read everything and listen to everything. It's quite time consuming. You can save things for later. So when a notification pops up, you tap save for later. And I've got about 350 things saved for later. I'm so busy. But the idea of it as well is, you can spend all day in it, social media, but actually for people that are just scrolling and reading something, it's just that they'll remember it later when they talk to somebody. And the conversations with neighbours is what you're going to have. It's not, social media is not going to win independence or anything. And I know this isn't going to win independence, it's daft, but there's enough information on there that you can look for something. You think, oh, the Hub might have that. Somebody asks a question, the Hub might have that. So you can just type in the word currency, that's on JERS, for example, all that stuff going on just now. You just type it and it's going to have all the pro-indie stuff right there from 450 odd sources. And you can just dive right into it and just pick out the bits you need. Just scroll very quick. You're not having to weed through stuff from the Daily Mail and the Daily Record and things, and go read to the bottom of it and go, all right, that wasn't very helpful. What's the next one? The Hub is a resource. There's like 200,000 pieces of content on there. It's all pro indie. So you can interrogate it. If anyone has an idea, it says, wouldn't it be great if we could interrogate a database to find this information? Then we'll do it, because it's all there already. So it's not to read all the time, it's not spend time like Facebook or Twitter or whatever, but it's a great resource for finding bits of information out when you're talking to somebody, and just quickly remind yourself, somebody challenges you and says, oh, that's not right, you go, well, hang on a minute, go on the Hub, find where, it could be Richard Murphy said something.
That's what I was going to ask about.
Yeah. Yeah. And then,
can I ask a question? Does it work in the same way that your emails were, that if you were to type in a subject matter, that it would scroll through the words in the subject matter that you've typed in, and then that would come up? Do you know what I mean by that?
It's kind of basic, where you'd have to search for basic words just now. It's not like Google, where you can kind of almost ask it a human question and the answers. But yeah, when you saw me searching for Yes Glasgow Northwest earlier, you can just type in something and hit return, or on the apps, you just hit the magnifying glass to search, and it brings up everything, and it'll categorize what you've searched for into articles, videos, podcasts, events, fundraisers, all that sort of stuff. So keywords would be better, like I said, like currency, or if you knew somebody who said something, put their name in and you could find it. That'd be the way to do it. So you can use it that way.
Does it, for example, when you say currency, does it, I take it it doesn't take in every, well, obviously it doesn't take in every single word written in every article, so that if you typed in currency, then they would all come up. It's not like that. And do you know how the way your emails work like that? Do you know what I mean? Would it have to be like a headline or?
So, part of the thing with the hub is I have to be very careful that I don't just replicate what's on other people's websites, because that's pretty much plagiarism. So I only take, you know, a paragraph, 4 or 5 lines of what they've written and the headline and who it's by. So when you search, but that's the public side of it, right? So you can read that. And if you want to read more, you'd click the link to read more. That's fine, right? But in the background, in the database, it stores the whole article to search through. So when you're saying currency, right? If there's an article about currency, the word currency is going to end up quite a few times in that article. That's going to be higher up your search results than if somebody just mentions it at the very bottom and says, oh, Richard Murphy mentioned currency yesterday. You know, and that's it. That's going to be near the bottom. So the more times currency is mentioned in that specific article or video, it's going to be further up the results. So it should be more relevant. But you could put in more, you know, you could say currency plus another word, for example. That'll help fine-tune the search results, and then it'll push that content further up. Like I say, I mean, this is 6 years worth of contents on there. But if it's not doing that, if you, for example, tried and you know specifically what you want to search for, and you search for it and you can't find it, or it's not as high as you think it should be, if you tell me, I can have a look and we can see if we can work out. And then, because this is the whole idea, this is for us. It's not for me. It's not money-making or anything. This is for us. So if it's not working right, if people are trying to use it and they can't use it how they think it should be used, you can just tell me and we can make it happen.
Dave, sorry, on a fairly similar point, when you talk about undecided and whatnot, one of the things I personally would find really useful, and I know that you said, for example, currency, and you can get all the articles and what's been said and you'll get all this, would be a kind of area where if somebody asks, well, wait a minute, England subsidises Scotland. And if I could just go in and say, well, actually, last year, they did this, did that, and of kind of, you know, the kind of factual things that kind of, that folk, the questions that people always ask, if there was a kind of, you know, how certain people put up all these figures and that type of thing. Do you know what I mean by that?
It's almost like Facebook's way of fact-checking things, where people are sharing articles at the bottom says, fact check, actually, that's rubbish. Uh-huh. You know, here's the reasons why. That would be great. It can definitely be done. If you think, like we're talking about searching for currency, if we searched for JERS, for example, uh-huh, we put a wee bit at the bottom to say for an in-depth analysis or whatever, or a very quick, you know, like National was doing their fact-checking, the doorstep answer, wasn't it? They had doorstep answer and then the detailed answer.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, we could do that where somebody searched for JERS, it'd just be in the search results maybe and just say, not doorstep answer, obviously, because that's for us, but for undecideds, it'd just be a wee fact check thing. It'd have to be manually done, but if there's specific topics, JERS would be one of them. Currency, could we use £1? People search for that. Yeah, we'd put in a wee...
These infographics, Colin Dunn, that does it. And they're brilliant, and you just look at that and think, right, wait a minute, that's that. And if they were kind of easy to access and just... You could, because if somebody asks you a question, you can just quickly go, well, actually, no, it's that. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's a great idea.
Exceptions section, you know?
Something like that. That type of idea, anyway, yeah. That'd be great if they were all together and easily accessible at the press of a button, yeah, type of thing.
Yeah, I mean...
Business for Scotland not do something like that?
Yeah, I was going to say...
Soundbite things like that.
Yeah.
Right, okay, Grace. Uh-huh.
Believe in Scotland, is it? Is that what they call themselves?
Yeah.
They should be on here. It'd be embarrassing if they're not. Oh, look, they are on here. Aye, so Believe in Scotland are on there as well. So obviously...
So you could do that then. Okay.
You could follow them and then you can type them in search and you can quickly scroll through that.
Perfect.
I've no bother doing it, obviously. But the idea is the less work, the better, because if we leave this running, it does its stuff in the background. We just get on with campaigning elsewhere.
Yeah,
that makes it easier. But
that's great, Dave. Yeah, thanks.
But if it's a good idea, then we'll do it. No, that's not a bad idea. to put wee snippets up just for people, so it's not even having to dive into an article. It's just a wee thing straight away to go, by the way, this, you know, so they know. So yeah, I quite like that idea. That's a good one.
Can I ask a question? Dave, how do you actually monitor this so that there aren't any trolls on it or unionists?
I follow everyone.
A lot of work for one man.
I follow everyone. I follow most of the groups. I get notified when a new group starts, so I can have a wee look, see what's going on. I follow every member. And on the hub, there's a filter button. So the idea of the hub is you've got everyday folk at ourselves, right? And we register our usernames and we just chat. That's what we do. We reply to things, we share things, right? And the groups are kind of like a higher status. So when a group posts something, that's when you get the big notification coming through to say event's happening or whatever, right? What I do with those is I just watch for them, for all these notifications, all the groups, all the members. And if anyone, it's not an iron fist kind of thing. If anyone says, you know, because you can challenge the yes side, you can challenge the SNP, for example, you know, in the way they do things. But if someone is, you know, quite obvious pro-UK, then they disappear quite quick. And I've got a series of buttons I can use. I can suspend them, which will annoy them because they can't log out. So just keep seeing this page. Or I can just remove them completely and block their email address. So it's quite a tight ship. I just watch everything that goes on and just remove anyone that's on the wrong side.
So have you got a wee filter for Union Jacks and people who say, I am a proud Scot, but...
Funny enough, the previous version of the website, do you remember when James Kelly stood up in Parliament and he was told to sit down?
Why?
Right. So if you on the old website, it's taken down now, but the old one, if you search for James Kelly, it would shout, sit down. So...
There's two James Kelly. There's a good James Kelly and there's a bad James Kelly.
Good point. Yeah, I should have put MSP after it. Yeah. Poor James Kelly and Scott Goes Pop told to sit down every time he searches for his name.
Hey, any more questions from anybody that hasn't already had a chance to ask?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Alex?
Yeah, I'm from Yes Presswick.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. My question is, we were looking at trying to set up a user group based on the region or based on the list seats. So for South of Scotland, we'd like to get a group for all of the Yes groups in the South of Scotland so we can collaborate on a strategy on the best way forward for the list seat.
That would probably be an indie app kind of thing.
That's what I was talking about. Could be set within the group, a subgroup based on the list seats, based on the regions.
Yeah. The indie app's obviously a separate thing from the hub. The indie app's more for the campaigning side, which would be the best place to do that sort of thing. A public-facing thing is not a bad idea, and that's what the hub's for. If you think of the hub as kind of like for everyday folk to read, view, and the indie app's kind of the stuff that happens in the background for how will we campaign, you know, getting people, folk together, activists together, you'd be much better using the indie app for that. I talked to Jason previously about kind of the two apps working together. You know, like for example, when you've got a follow button, sorry, Alex, it's going to be a bit off topic for what you're saying there. But, you know, when you've got a follow button and eventually down the line, it might kind of nudge you to go, do you want to get involved? Click here and go to the indie app and, you know, join the group there. But I think, Alex, what you'd need would be definitely something to do on the indie app and speak to Jason about it, about doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's not a problem to, you know, make, because anyone can make a group on here as well. You know, it's not totally controlled by myself. So if you wanted to do a group, and if you, for the location, you'd put a postcode in kind of like the dead center of the area you're covering, and you can post stuff about it. It's not a problem, you know, it's open to everyone to do it. But definitely have a look at the indie app for that.
Yeah, because I was thinking more at a strategic level, we've got to start getting our act together, we've got to start thinking collectively and collaborate with each other as groups especially with things coming like, is ISP standing here or not standing here? What's the best strategy for your particular list seat?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the more we work together, the better chance we have of getting the desired outcome.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you'd do it on the hub. I mean, you'd end up having just discussions, really, rather than kind of like a sub-forum for for that sort of thing.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Can I ask you another question, Dave? So would you envisage the hub coming into its own more once a date for an IndyRef 2 was announced and the campaign begins to kind of gather steam a bit?
I think so. I mean, this is just like Alex is talking about. You shouldn't call a pandemic an opportunity, right? Because it's not really, but we've all been sitting at home and there's a lot of planning we could be doing, even if we're not out in the streets. And doing this website for the hub, I was furloughed for a month. So I thought, well, I'll get this done. I get it set up. And I know, like, we're discussing the Indy app, they're getting set up. And there's things we should be getting, like, everything ready for when we go into it. We're going to be so much better prepared this time around than we were last time. Because they've just got the same arguments. You know, they just change the date on their articles and just put them out year after year. It's the same stuff. And they haven't prepared themselves for a second referendum properly. But we have. And the hub, yeah, it's because, like I said, it was at the end of the referendum and I started wanting to, I was never an activist. I'm still not quite an activist. I've been to a march, but I was kind of in town that day anyway, you know, that sort of thing. So this is kind of how I help the movement, is just behind a keyboard and doing this. But this, when it comes to the second referendum, is going to be a pretty powerful tool to have. Because when we start discussing things and it starts coming up, the trending topics along the side, and we know what the discussion that day or that week is, you know, we're not having to guess. We're not just having it from a couple of folk on Twitter, you know, and you're fighting over all the other trends in Glasgow that day, you know, of you know, sauce and Pizza Hut's not very nice. You know, you've got that. This is purely just pro-independent stuff that's going to be talked about in here. So people will know what the discussion is and they can jump into it. And you'll know where to go if you want to read what's happening. You know, there's just one place to go and it's the hub. And you can go on it and you can read and listen and watch everything. Like the live streams, and like I'm saying, you get notified when a live stream happens. You don't even have to be aware of it. It's just your phone tells you there's a live stream happening in 2 minutes. Tap here to watch it. And off you go. Same with events happening. The weather's going to be 15 degrees and cloudy. And it's happening in a couple of hours if you want to make your way along to it. And then off you go. It just tells you the information without you asking for it. And that's the beauty of it. So when it comes to the second referendum, you know, follow all your groups, set everything up, and it'll work away for you. That's the idea. Yeah.
And there was someone else. I've asked enough things. Anybody else there got a question they'd like to ask? Does anybody have any comments, you know, reactions about how they think they might start using it, or they might like download the app, or anybody got anything, any reactions to Dave's talk?
Douglas has downloaded the app while we were talking.
Was that right?
My husband, he's just downloaded it.
Do you use it? Is it an iPhone or is it an
Android? He's got a wee tablet, as he's using it, he's got it on.
That's good. Well, I mean, that's great. Like I say, you don't have to look at it all the time. It'll just ping up. You can also, if it gets too much, the number of notifications, you can individually turn them off in the groups. So, if there's a group you follow that on your timeline, you know, on your homepage showed you, you can read it. But if there's too much stuff in them, you can just mute the notifications, but it'll still show up when you go onto the app and have a look. So, I mean, because I follow every group, obviously, I have every notification coming through. So when I turned on my phone in the morning, it was just a constant vibration for about 30 seconds while everything fired through. So it became too much. And that's the thing, that's what I'm saying. So when it comes to things, you think, that's a bit too much. What should we do? I think, well, it's our app. It's our website. Well, I'll just put a thing in it to stop it doing that. That's what we do. And it was actually, I think somebody on Twitter had mentioned, far too many notifications. So just change it so you could stop it. So it's good. It'd be great if you end up using it. If you find it useful, that's the whole idea. It's no point thinking it's quite a good idea and then you leave it. It's good if you think it's a good idea and you end up using it, then that's even better. Yeah.
Alan Morrison, would you like to say something, Alan?
While you were talking, I downloaded the app and I'm kind of looking at the settings page and there's three buttons halfway down the page or near towards the bottom and I have no idea what they do because they don't tell me.
Well, are you on a, which app?
iPhone.
That's a bit worrying. It should tell you that.
I should maybe be able to, I took a wee screenshot, so you should be able to see it.
That's weird. Right, I'll have to have a look because it should actually tell you. It's probably white text. I can tell you right now if you want, because it's all to do with notifications.
Yeah.
So it's set to be not very intrusive. So the first one's device notifications. So that's the popping up to tell you about the groups. Second one is show group notifications. So if you turn that off, you don't get notifications from groups, but you will from members. And the last one's for emails. That's turned off by default because I think that's kind of the GDPR thing already. You have to opt in to email notifications.
Yeah.
You don't get email notifications really. I don't send emails out about the app or anything. It would only be if there's something very, very urgent I needed to communicate with everyone. But you don't need that on. Previously, what used to happen is if you signed up on the website, you could have email notifications and an email would come through whenever there was something new. But that just, it felt like spamming people's inbox, so I just turned it off.
Yeah, I think the reason may be because I have my phone set to the dark mode all the time, so it might have picked a default text that would be white to show up in black, and then it's just picked that out.
Yeah, that is pretty helpful information, actually. So I'll have a look at that, and I'll put an update out, hopefully tomorrow, should fix it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, and I noticed, see when you were doing the screen share, Dave, Douglas Folds and Alan Morrison's names popped up on the screen, people
did.
To follow.
Yeah,
so I realised that they must have been down there.
Yeah, that's me followed everyone now. So you should get a notification as well. If you're on the app, you'll get a notification saying someone's followed you. If you're on the website, there's a wee red dot next to things you haven't read yet. So on the left-hand side, you know, you've got articles and media and events. If you see a wee red dot, that means there's something new in there. So when you click on it, you can see the new content. And for notifications, a wee red dot means somebody's followed you or liked a post or shared a post, for example. Like I say, it works kind of similar to Twitter. So it should be quite easy to use.
Can I just clarify something that I was talking about earlier on about the bullet points? When I said the Business for Scotland, the Gordon McIntyre Kemp, who runs Business for Scotland, also runs that Believe in Scotland website, but I think that's more a discussion thing. But the Business for Scotland produced like these books, remember we had them in the Glasgow Northwest, and it's all the wee points, and I think probably on their website you'll get the wee sort of explainer things there.
That's handy. Yeah, it saves me trying to write it because they'll obviously have thought exactly the wording that should be used.
Yeah, they're quite good. They're really, really short. I don't know. I mean, this was probably done a year ago, so I don't know how up to date. Most of them will be fine, though, you know. But the books, that wee book's great for that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Did quite a good article on Gears Today, Gordon McIntyre Kemp. Just done
did
one. Done one today on Gears.
I've not read it yet. Like I say, there's so many articles to read. But he's usually pretty on the ball with stuff.
Yes, isn't he? He's very good.
Yeah.
Very
Grace, I remember I was a wee group, was Joe was there and yourself and a few more folk. We went to the launch of the Business for Scotland, Scotland debrief. And at that time, they specifically referred, Dave, to an app they were producing. And the idea of that was just what you were talking about, that if you were on a, let's say you were on somebody's doorstep and somebody asked you about something, you didn't really know it, you could go onto the app and check it out and you would have that information on hand on your phone. But they were going to launch it, you know, a few months after, but I'm not sure, we'll need to check about that.
Not all about that, but I haven't seen anything about it. I don't know whether it did or not.
Certainly, it would be a really useful thing to have, but I don't think any of us are going to be doorstepping people anytime very soon, unfortunately. But there we go. So, yeah. So there's a Dave. I've really enjoyed your talk, and I'm sorry there's not more people. There was quite a few more folk said they were coming, but I have a feeling at tea time folk fall asleep and forget.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just me. But
the football's on just now.
I'm glad that we're recording this so that anybody that missed it will have the opportunity to see it at a later date. You know, it'll be available online. So there's a few folk there that haven't had a chance to say anything. I wonder if anybody that's there have got anything to either ask or say, or, you know, before we sort of round up in 5-10 minutes' time. I don't know, has anybody else got anything?
No, it's Stuart here. I was just... It sounds like a good resource. That's the kind of thing I was looking for, because I always find them kind of who to remember them stuff. And it'd be handy to have something to hand that you could check up and have the resource there. So that's really why I haven't downloaded the app yet. I'd have been quicker on the ball there. I should have had my phone beside me, but I don't. So I think it's a case of practice with it and see how it goes. I'll get back to you, Dave.
I think Stuart, when you know, when you're on about trying to remember things, because you can save things for later.
Yeah.
Handy. I save things for later to read them, or like, you know, Leslie Riddick's podcast. I'll bookmark it for later. But others might use that thing as, you know, that's a really really good argument, and I need to remember that. And that's what they do, is they bookmark that. You can like things like you do on Twitter, and you can scroll through that on your profile as well of stuff you've liked and shared. The bookmarks are really handy, because if there's, like say, a really good argument for something that you know you're going to use on a doorstep, but you know fine you're going to forget it the moment you move away from your laptop,
whatever,
it's great to have it so that when you do go out, you just have that button, you just push, and it's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
Be really handy.
Yeah, like the idea of a kind of soundbite, you know, like a simple, concise argument that just kind of hits the spot, you know, rather than like a big, long kind of a sermon, you know, it would be handy to have that.
As, like we talked about Colin Dunn's stuff earlier on, about his infographics. I'm trying to find a way to get his stuff better on the hub, you know, because his are just images, and it's very hard to search an image, if you know what I mean, or search text on an image. But I want to find a way of being able to put his stuff on there. I mean, his website's brilliant, but I just can't find a way of making good use of it on the hub yet. But I definitely want to do something like that so that you can go on that, because they're fantastic for just quickly showing somebody, because it's just got the information right there. So that is something I've been trying for a while, to get his stuff in there properly, like do it justice. So you might find there's a gallery option ends up at some point that people can scroll through and find all these infographics that he's done.
I believe he allows people to download things freely from his website as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, well, thanks everybody. Thank you very much indeed, Dave, for your time tonight. I'll unmute everybody so that everybody can say thank you. That's everybody unmuted. Well, you should be. So,
can I ask a really silly question? I'm just in from work there, so sorry for being so late in. What's the app called?
It's just called the Hub.
Hub, right? I was having, right, I'd kind of done a bit of a search and I found that the hub, but I can't actually find it in my Play Store. Is it only for iPhones?
No.
The hub.scot in it. I've just got it and I've just installed, so.
That's impressive, Margaret. I will have to get it.
If you search, if you can't find it, if you try the Hub Scotland.
The Hub Scotland, okay, I'll do that. No probs.
Have you got a different type of phone, Joe?
Well, mine's just a standard Huawei. So when I go on to this, the whole of China is going to see it.
That might be not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's a shame. You've been working that hard. You've missed the start. That's a shame.
See the recording?
Yeah,
the recording. You're absolutely right.
We are
right.
Recording it, Joe, so you'll be able to see it later on.
And I want to point out, it was pointed out a wee while ago, my football team are playing tonight as well, and I'm not watching it. I'm not here.
I said
again
for you, Joe.
They're getting beat 1-0.
And they're getting beaten as well. I do know that.
Yeah. Well,
can I ask something? I'm sorry I missed the first minute or two.
On you go, Colin.
I'm sorry I missed the first minute or two, so you may have covered it, but I in relation to all of China seeing this, I mean, this is easily available to the public, including our opponents. And are you quite happy that it's not going to be sabotaged in the way that we've seen some Facebook pages, pro-indie pages, have mysteriously disappeared and become cut off recently?
Yeah, well, I mean, we discussed earlier, I mean, this is all, I run it. So if anyone does try anything, they get punted pretty quick. I follow all the groups, all the members, so I do see an overall picture of what's happening. You can report things like a normal social media app as well. I get an email, have a quick look and deal with it. You know, we don't have to wait 5 working days, you know, all that sort of nonsense. So just have a look. And if there is any objectionable content on it, it's removed pretty quick. Email addresses will be blocked so they can't register, things like that. Mm. There's no censorship on our side at all, but there's no way that this will be used as a platform for the other side, because they've got plenty of platforms to be using. So
yes, well that's the content, but I'm wondering more about malware and spyware and other technical ways of spying on us, so that the people that use the app can be targeted.
I can do as much as I can. I've done a lot of security for all the apps. And the website as well, and the amount of, for instance, that because the apps are on the Play Store and the App Store, they've got their own methods of checking through the code in case somehow someone's injected any sort of malware or anything into it. And if it does, it actually gets pulled from people's phones. That's what Google do, and I think Apple do the same. They just pull it without telling you, and I'll get flagged to say there's something wrong with it. That's obviously not happened. But also, if there is an attempt to get into the database, they would get your email address, but they don't get anything like your location, for example, because I don't store that. I know the indie app uses the first part of your postcode, and that's intentional to not give a precise location of where you live. It's kind of a general area. The hub doesn't do that at all. There is no location data stored. So when you go to view nearby groups or nearby events, it gets your location at that moment, and that's it from your device, and that's it. It doesn't store it for later. So there's no way they can get that information. But I mean, there's ways to stop attacks, security methods I use to stop attacks in it. But I mean, you do see massive websites get attacked as well. I just do as much as I can from this end and just make sure that there's not too much personal information posted on it, just to keep everyone else safe.
Great. So I think that's about us then. That's us just coming up for the hour that we had sort of planned. So it just remains for me again, on behalf of Yes Glasgow Northwest, Dave, to thank you very much for giving us your time and your expertise, plus all the amazing hard work that you put into this endeavour. So hopefully a few more folk will be using it and maybe telling other folk about it, and it will just, you know, I'm sure other Yes groups wanting to hear from you. Can I also thank our group members, but a particular thank you to people that have tuned in from other places like Prestwick and Bearsden and Mogai and the South Side.
Yeah.
So is that us then? Will we just say good night?
Yeah.
And
thank you to Val as well. Thank you for
organizing.
Nice and well done. Cheerio, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Cheerio now.
Thank you.
And thanks to Yes Glasgow Northwest for sharing that excellent event with us. If you're part of a Yes group or another pro indie group and you have material that you would like to share with us here on Indie Live Radio so we can get your voice out to a much wider audience, then please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at spotlight@indielive.radio. We look forward to hearing from you.
In life, don't